Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show, episode 21? Is that right? We're going to talk about Famke Janssen's boob. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, 32 years old and still good.
It is a really good song.
It's not bad. Edward Van Halen and who are
at this point we refer to him as Edward Van Halen.
Yes, Mr. Edward Van Halen. That's what Jeff McCauley calls him, Edward Van Halen. I think he does. Anyway, welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. It's Van Halen with a bunch of other folks on there as well. I can't remember anybody else's name.
Do you want to explain the reference? So in case people
at the end, the double jump. I wanted to use Jumpman by Drake and Future, but we couldn't find the right version.
No,
and the clean version sucked. So I won't do that. Welcome, guys. Welcome to all you guys in the chat room. Good to see you all. Watson and Joseph and Jenny and Marcella. Good to see you in the room here. We've got some stuff to talk about. I missed last week's episode. You guys held it down. I missed a funeral. I missed a very stirring eulogy given by your boy Harold Cooper, which I'm sure you love, Joe.
Good God.
I actually watched that last night. And Aram, some sweet words from Aram. I was talking about that.
Little Romeo and Juliet.
Very sweet, yeah. Little Romeo and Juliet there. So, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about this one, episode 21. Now, so I'm confused. There's 22 episodes in a season. So they're doing a two-part finale?
Two-part finale.
But does a two-part qualify as one episode?
One episode, two-part. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not a doctor, but from what I understand, we're getting an extra show. Whether we like it or not, God bless America, right. That's what's happening.
Okay. So, maybe that bottle episode with Rake at Cape May is a bonus
episode.
That's
what I'm
wondering. That is the bonus episode.
Yeah, a little still something for you on the side. I'll take it.
We made this. We thought it was fun. Here it is.
Okay, so here we are, folks. Thanks for joining us. We have, so it looks like we've been talking about this presumptive spinoff, Blacklist spinoff that we've heard announced that would star Famke Janssen and possibly Ryan Eggold. And it looks like we now know what that's from. It's from our good girl, Susan Scotty Hargrave.
Oof.
Old Scotty.
Yeah.
I don't want my nickname to be Scotty. That's
well,
great
it
nickname.
Can't be because it's hers.
I gotta tell you.
I'll give you a Frank.
Frankie?
Okay.
All right, Frank.
Frank Kierley. I'll take it.
God damn it, Frank.
That Frank's one's hot redhead. Anyway, we're introduced to Famke Janssen, which is Scotty, this character.
Mm-hmm.
We see a little bit. Now, apparently, she's described sort of last episode into this as a private security firm a la Black.
Halcyon.
Out of Blackwater.
Yes.
Halcyon, which is like a Halliburton, Halcyon, Blackwater kind of, private security firm. And they operate with full knowledge of the government, but the government has the ability to disavow what they do from them. Is this the deal?
Yeah, mostly, kind of, sort of, maybe.
You know, this is the plot of Call of Duty Black Ops 3, by the way.
This is also the plot of America Right Now. This is also what we do.
Is what we do. So this is
that's some weird shit we don't want to deal with. How about you guys do it? That'd be great.
So
it'd look way better for us if you took care of that.
If we didn't do it, but we kind of like did it.
But it happens anyway. Yeah. Just don't throw my name in there.
How much money did you need?
I want to ask you this. Our girl Pennebaker. So
yeah,
she's shady. Is she just doing the work of the government?
Well, that's the question, right? If the government's shady and you work for the government, does that make you shady or is everything legal now?
But I can't tell. It's so gray now because our other girl, who I love,
Lauren Hitchens.
Yeah, Lauren Hitchens. Well, we know she's bad, but she's national security advisor to the president.
Yeah.
She's just in there chilling. So Pennebaker, we thought she was good, but she's like doing some shady-ish.
Well, we don't really know what Pennebaker hired Halcyon to do.
Right.
It seemed like two separate jobs for Halcyon, right? Whatever she was doing with Pennebaker and whatever she was doing in the whole kidnapping of Lizzie Keene.
Definitely got the impression.
Like two separate jobs.
Yeah, and well, I got the impression there's like a whole bunch of different jobs going on. There's an awful lot happening here. This is a big company.
She's a busy girl.
Well, so a lot of balls in the air.
Well, we see a lot of balls in the air. Well, we see her in her beautiful DC office. Like
it is nice.
Not too shabby, is it?
She's immaculately dressed and she's beautiful and she's closing the deal. With my man
Samuel.
Yeah, with Samuel.
Mm-hmm. She is sealing that deal up.
She sealed with a boob is what I wrote.
Sealed with a boob.
Like, you know. I'm like, I like the way she closes the deal. Like, how do I go pitch Halcyon?
Hey, it's effective.
I'm like, hey Halcyon, no. I think I may want to do a deal.
Is this how it works?
Like I don't know if it's a good
big
idea.
Deal. It's a really big deal.
I don't know if I want to hire you. Okay. That was a great scene. I thought it was great.
Joker to my left and Joker to my right.
Oh, shut up, Frank.
Stuck in the middle with you. I thought that was a great scene.
Introduction
to her character and a good monologue. And that's usually reserved for Red, but it's kind of like her version of the Red monologue.
Yeah,
that's great. That was great.
You're in, and you're, this is what it feels like to take a risk and to be outside your comfort zone, and it feels pretty good, doesn't it? And yes. Especially with someone you trust. That was great.
I love it.
And he's just holding on to the boob. And you know, I bought Samuel. At first, I was like, God, guy heads up this big of a company. He's got this much money kicking around. He's got enough money to be hiring these people. He's got some tail on the side. This guy's not—he's not going to be this screwed up about grabbing a boob. But then you meet his wife later on. You're like, all right, she thinks he's effing around when he watches a little something something on the TV.
Yeah, so there's no true. Doubt. He's like, it's only movies.
That was hilarious, man.
Nannies,
threesomes with
nannies.
Unbelievable women cops.
Oh, movies.
I love that casting of his wife. But just a little side note. That was fantastic. Right. Made something out of nothing.
So we see her, and we also see who we see again, my girl Tani Cypress playing Nez Rowan, who is her sidekick, you know, and I guess, you know, job requirement in Halcyon, be hot.
Yeah. Like, is that the job?
That you apparently.
Yeah.
She's her, like, I love the, you know, the idea of two strong women, you know, sort of beautiful women running this super crazy, it's a new take on the giant corporation contractor. Military contractor to folks. I mean, those are like that. The chick who plays Nez Rowan, the sidekick, Tani, who's a badass, and Famke Janssen do not seem like the stereotypical type to be running this type of organization. Yet they are.
Yeah, why not?
That's cool. It's great. That was great casting. I loved it all. And I believe both of them, by the way. Anyway, so we get a peek into Halcyon. We can see what they're doing, and I don't know. I like it. And we find out that Red also knows who it is, now knows who it is, and decided to send her a very specific message by, you know, killing everyone in the room and then writing a very eloquent typed up note.
Oh, yes.
That just said, we should talk.
Call my exchange.
That is, what's cooler than that, by the way?
Nothing.
Like, it's typed out on the actual...
Whole lot of nothing.
Actual typewriter.
Some good paper
real
stock.
Nice, heavy stationery.
The nice stationery.
Well, it has to hold up to the bullet wounds and the blood.
That's true.
So it has to be
And it can't be too
stuff.
Absorbent. But, right. You know, no. Maybe I'm just on one side. Just to take the ink, but not the blood.
Just for a little dramatic flair.
And then how do you put it on the guy? Well, you know, you'll step.
Yeah.
Step. I know that move well.
That's a class.
Step.
R.I.P. Nando. Like, one step. You know, the two things I've the two most ballerous things I've always wanted to say, one of them is feel the jet. I want to do that one day. Another one is call my exchange.
Call my exchange. That's it?
That's it.
You can do that tomorrow.
It's call my exchange.
You can do that tomorrow.
Fuel the jet.
I can't help you with. Call my exchange. You can set up an exchange in 20 minutes.
All right.
You can make this happen.
All right.
You gotta have a little extra scratch for that.
I like Fuel the Jet because it doesn't even matter where you're going. They don't care. It's Fuel the Jet.
Fuel the Jet. I'll tell you when I get there.
Fuel the Jet.
We'll let you know.
Sorry. We're off on a thing. You don't ever want to Fuel a Jet?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Come on.
Who doesn't
want to make that call?
Fuel the Jet.
This is how I do.
Anyway, I should note that as we'll get right back on the rails here soon, but I should note that this episode was directed by Andy McCarthy. Did you know that?
I didn't pay attention to that.
It's Blaine and Steph reunited.
Blaine
really?
And Steph
I didn't
reunited.
Even put it together.
From Pretty in Pink.
Oh, man.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. Now, apparently he's directed a couple episodes before, so we could have made this observation before if we're paying attention. But I think it's very cool. So I was very happy. I'm like, oh, Andrew Carly, Blaine and Steph. It's like the old days.
If only Ringwald will make a guest appearance. Yeah. Why can't she be a blacklister?
Maybe.
Bring her back as Lizzie Keene. We'll see if anything.
Where's any Ducky? Different. Bring them all.
Bring Ducky back. Ducky's not working right now. Two and a Half Men's over.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So, I mean, let's get back on track. So, Red is hot on the trail of just wants this meeting with Scotty for whatever reason, right? And then we go back to the post office, and it's a little tense at the post office. You know, we're seeing how Wrestler is dealing with Lizzie's death. Mm-hmm. Her office is getting cleared out, and he didn't like that at all.
That was last week.
Oh, okay. It felt like today because I watched it back to back.
Okay.
It's good.
This week.
What happened this week, Joe? What happened this week?
Harold Cooper was very, 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 very upset about the fact that he made a promise to Lizzie when he laid.
I will do whatever it takes. Yes. And Wrestler didn't like that because Wrestler's a goddamn Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Even though he's been shown that the Boy Scout troop is a little wacky, even though you tell him like, oh yeah, Pennebaker's running some bullshit game, and then if you go a little further up, they're all corrupt too. And he's like, but there's rules.
Right.
Yeah. But he's got to shave it. He's got to shave it off.
I love Cooper on a mission.
Cooper on a mission. You were critical of Cooper last week. What do you think of Cooper this week?
He's good. I don't know. For me, that last week, the preacher thing blew me out because that was a strange choice.
I liked Cooper this week. I liked that when it's sort of like he's realizing the severe depth of the corruption, how far up and how low it goes, right. How it's everywhere. Even old friends of his that he's worked with forever have been touched by it. So now he's taking matters into his own hands.
He already did it by getting
Tom in on the action.
Yeah.
He started this mission kind of last episode. He's really beat up about Liz's death.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's a thing that happens, I think, and the show's kind of touching on it. I don't think I'm making it a theme, but it's definitely it's underlying. When you've kind of bent the rules, I think there's an assumption that what I've bent is as far, because it usually is, this is as far as I'm prepared to go. So therefore, in my brain, this is as far out as anyone should go. So the post office dealing with Red, the deal with the devil they made, that whole thing, that's as far out as Cooper is willing to go, right? And so mentally, as a character, he's like, that's it. That's where everybody, that's the line. That's the line because that's where I put it. And then when he finds out the line is way, way further out than that, and there's shit going on you want no part of, that messes with your whole structure as a character, which I think is great. I think they're doing a little something with it without hitting us over the head with it. But I think that's a little sub-theme
there.
Well,
his personal line is getting pushed a little further and expanding in order to keep up.
Exactly.
Has to. Can't beat him, join him in your own way.
I really like that they had that corruption go as far down as the guy, the cop at the airport, right? It does. There's no bottom and there's no top.
Yeah.
Anybody can be bought. Anybody can be grayed up into this thing.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, if you sell, I'll give you triple what she's paying you. Oh, but they threw back the government thing. I'm skipping ahead to that because Red's like, I'll offer you triple what she's paying you. He's like, no thanks. She's got the government on her side.
I might be a hero.
Yeah, but he wasn't a hero. He didn't make it.
He did not.
But I felt bad for that guy.
I did too.
I'm like, hey,
come on, what are you doing?
He's just trying to take his wife to Bermuda,
buy himself a nice little house.
Yeah. Anyway, so also, you know, Harold's breaking the rules even further because he's brought in our boy Tom Keene.
Yeah.
Yeah, like and you know, and would you like to mention?
I love Wrestler mentioning. Is this the new Agent Keene?
Yeah,
that was funny.
that was a great line. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I want Tom to be acting like, but I don't know. It doesn't seem so broken up.
I like him.
Business as usual.
Please keep him around.
He's
my favorite of the two Keens.
Frank, goddammit, I'm going to agree with you. I enjoyed that so much. I was like, you know, that's the guy I like.
I'm like, yeah. This is slaying. This is just right.
Just setting him up and slaying ass for no reason. Because he can. And what did Aram say? He should write a book.
He should write a book. Yes. I love Tom and Aram together.
Oh yeah, that's some nice
Tom and Aram.
Does it look a little meat cute at the Rom-Tom?
Right. Look at this meat.
It's cute. I don't know what's happening. This. All right. So we should talk about that because I'm not in chronological order at all, but there was a bit where Harold just tries to get the warrant to go after the dude who they find, who they realize is they've tracked the guy, right?
Stalder.
Benjamin.
And so he wants to get a warrant for this to go after this person, right?
After Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. After Benjamin. And the judge,
well, it turns out, has been kidnapped by Halcyon, but we don't really know that at the time.
Right. And the judge is like, I like the line where he says, like, you're harboring a fugitive or you're working with a criminal, something like that. And he goes, so are you. Or I heard you are too. What was that line?
Has he been kidnapped by Halcyon or did he escape Halcyon?
No, he's been kidnapped by Halcyon. They're holding him. I thought maybe I misunderstood. They're holding him. That was that conversation at the end of the episode where he's like, well, I didn't know, you know, part of your way of doing business was kidnapping your clients.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
But yeah. So the assistant attorney general. Is that who he was talking to?
Yes, I believe so.
And he says no. I don't see anything here. And that's that moment, right? That's that. I can't believe this is how far up this goes. And I can't believe that this is a government official that was a government employee that was murdered. And you guys don't care.
Yeah.
You guys that whatever the deal is, it's more important than these people.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a harsh realization to come to.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I thought that he escaped Halcyon. They tried to kidnap him. He got away because he was brought in by the FBI, and then he got on a plane.
Then he got on his plane to Dubai, and then he dropped off the planet.
But he's still taking calls, and he still has an assistant, and an assistant patches...
Yes, okay, so you're saying that he's not kidnapped by Halcyon.
I thought he escaped them.
Maybe you're right. I might be wrong.
To extend an olive branch.
Probably right, and I'm probably wrong.
Probably.
Damn it, Frank!
Probably.
Son of a bitch.
Probably.
All
right. I think you're
right. She's trying to get back into his good graces. That's why they had that whole conversation. That's why he was kind of badass on the phone when he called
her out.
That's right. My employer hired you to kidnap Liz, yada, 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 yada. You tried to kidnap me so I would be a bargaining chip.
Right.
And she's like, well, here's an olive branch or I could shove it up your ass.
Boom.
That's how Frank does it.
Frank gets down. Don't mess with Frank.
Frank.
All right, so... can you explain to me again? Because again, I have a loose understanding of this, of what happened here. The woman in the coffee shop.
Oh. That is Benjamin's assistant,
Amanda Bigelow. Ben's assistant.
So who has
the best guest star appearance ever on a show?
Right
now, the guest star appearance I want.
Yeah,
where I just get to make out with Ryan Eggold.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable at the studio when Julia was at the door banging on the wall of the soundstage. Several times they had to ask her to leave.
Give me an audition. Right. Give me an audition.
Yes,
I want to be in.
Yeah, that was interesting. And so they brought him in to get the thing that looks like a hot spot, which did not look like a hot spot, by the way.
No, it looked like it
didn't.
It's giant, right, with a big
one. Nothing to see here. Let me crank it. This moment here.
It's like your average hot spot. It's like, let me get closer. No, not suspicious at all.
Nope, nothing weird here.
Nothing's happening. I'm right next to her.
What's going on, Rob? A hot spot welded to a walkie-talkie. Like, nothing weird.
What is that? Anyway, so, but... Right, but
we went to Radio Shack. This is all they had.
You have to use other methods, and then out he came.
It was other methods.
Woo, man!
Slap on those Tom King glasses. I don't want to win. No woman can say no.
You break out a sweater and a pair of glasses, and Tom King.
I said, please. My boy Reggie's a real charmer.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Old Reggie.
Sure is, and not Reggie. Only that. Amanda Bigelow, she's bold.
Yeah, but she
that's a bold girl. Yeah.
She knows what she wants. She's going to go with it.
Damn like, straight she is.
You can see right here.
You think that's going to intimidate me? You think that would? No, we're going to hit this shit right now.
Yeah, so there it was.
Yeah. Oh, you think that you having a kid and a dead wife? No, I'm in. I'm in all the way.
So
I saw your sweater.
I get it, Jeff.
Oh, you want me to stop? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, the line worked all the way. The line seriously worked for him.
It did work.
Aram was definitely impressed by the whole thing.
Yeah,
he's definitely impressed. He should write a book. I want to go back to the scene with...
Aram was also like a little bummed that he was going out on a date. Remember, he wanted to hear it from him.
Yes.
That Tom really did love Liz.
Okay, can I say this? I got to say this. They're Rossing Aram up too much. In my opinion.
Oh.
I think they're turning him into too much of a Ross character, and I think
Rachel. What? Huh? Oh, Chandler.
That's too much. I've worked for the FBI for years and years. Right. But wait a second. Do you mean to tell me that people might actually have sex with other people to get intel? I can't even. What? Right. Like that's too much. Like, come on.
That's he's FBI and CIA.
Come on. He's a smart guy. Sure. I don't like when they put too much naivete on him.
Okay.
They're writing it too naive.
Fair enough. Okay. I still like it.
I love him, but that's just, you know.
I did like the bit of advice.
I still enjoy it, but I see what you're saying.
I did like the bit of advice that old Reggie gave her yeah. off. It's like, you know what? Hey, man, here's the thing with the ladies.
But it's true. Like
he this was, isn't going to last forever. Lizzie's dead. Yeah, this is over.
He was only beholden to you at the post office because of Lizzie. That's the only reason he was right. here. So you better get in on Navabi.
Go take a swing on Navabi now. That, yeah. that ship's going to sail, Jack.
Yeah. That's a,
you know, it was good advice. Sound advice. Super
spy sound Tom advice. Keen.
Sound yeah. advice.
You are in the friend zone, my man. You need to step out of the friend mm-hmm. zone.
He should write a book.
He should write a book.
He should yeah. write a book.
So then he left to go, presumably, not jump her air gap. You know, he didn't want to jump her air gap. Go do that. I'd like to jump Falca Jensen's air gap. That's for sure.
With a thumb drive?
I can't help
with a thumb drive? What happened?
Is that a thumb drive or you happy to see?
Rob, that was awkward. I was like, you just insert the thumb drive. I mean, jump the air gap. I mean,
That's what I'm saying. It's too
funny.
Much.
I thought that was cute.
Oh, he got embarrassed.
Yeah, he's embarrassed.
Anyway. Penises. Oh, you're like 40.
I want to go back. This is a freeform open association conversation here, but I want to go back to talk about the standoff between Hitchens and Red in the car. That was yeah. a very good scene.
It was a good standoff.
It was a very good scene. Like, you know, I want to hurt you.
I can't wait to hurt you.
Yeah. That's gonna happen.
That's coming.
That's definitely coming.
That is
Red,
coming.
Red does not make hollow promises. Yeah, a bit, you know, when he said, like, you know, do not try my patience, I very love it. Mm-hmm. Like, I totally was scared. I believed him.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, I'm like, Red is, you know.
And she was too, so she did his bidding.
Yeah. And then she brought, she did his bidding and brought my man in there, you know, old Brad Clark.
Oh.
That poor sap.
Poor guy.
You know, and he had I'm a good businessman face.
Hey, man.
And nobody like, oh, shit.
You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of my guy in Die Hard.
I'm gonna make the deal for you.
Yeah, like Hans, booby.
You need me.
You need me.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Hey, John McClane, listen, guys. These guys aren't messing around.
Get out! Shut your mouth! Get out!
They're gonna kill you. Well, we can do Die Hard all day.
Right, we can. All right.
Yeah. Speaking of 1984.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, so he was ready to go, and then Red just killed him, and then said he was hungry.
I'm famished. Or starving.
Red, again, this is the ruthless.
It's been fun to see, like, this old Red back. Yeah. You know, Red out of mourning, Red yeah. on a mission, yeah. being quippy.
Quippy and very serious.
Unleashed as a maniac. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to start killing fools.
Like, nothing was better than the scene. I know we're message. Jumping. The scene in the dude's house with the wife.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious.
Just like, there you are, Red.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are, Peter.
Oh, Cynthia, I want to hear all about it.
Yeah.
Yes, so good.
Get the gun. She's spilling the beans.
Oh, all over the floor.
Oh, my man Samuel's.
Shut up, Samuel. He's got a gun.
Yeah, he's like, Come on, honey.
I'm going to pretend like I... No. Like,
don't worry, my wife will stand by me the whole time. Samuel, you porn-watching mother effer. He's got a gun. You watch porn. Therefore, I'm spilling the beans, mister.
I have a buddy. I have a buddy that went to
he's
sex.
He's closing his eyes, imagining Famke Jensen's boob.
He's like, right? He's like, it was so good. I made the deal.
Jeez.
There was a buddy of mine that went and ended up in Sexaholics Anonymous because his wife thought watching porn was cheating. Like, as far as I didn't realize that people like this existed. This is a real thing. I thought that was such a good character.
Yeah, well, it happens.
He's like, you want to see my chit? I'm like, it's not real. This is not real. Yeah. It's not a real thing.
So that was a great scene, too. Red being red.
Red and up.
So then we have...
Poor Samuel.
So we should also talk about and touch on the container scene.
Yes.
The operation.
In Amsterdam.
Yeah, which I was really cliff hung. I thought they got blown up.
I was cliffhangified and they blowificated.
Yes.
So okay, so this was they were working with a separate SWAT team in Amsterdam.
Cliff hung.
Yeah. Right? You were cliff hung.
Yeah.
Through the commercial break. They didn't even put a commercial break on it. They just whoosh. All right, so they're working there, but that was an impressive connection, right? Everybody's cameras fed via satellite to
good sequence.
Yeah,
Andrew McCarthy did a good job directing mm-hmm. that sequence. That was good. Yeah, and so I thought they got blown up.
They didn't get blown up at all.
They didn't get blown up, and that was very cool.
Although other shipments all over the world got blown up.
Yeah, in Europe and in the Mid East, they got blown up.
Yeah,
but blown not up the good. One in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So how big is Halcyon? I mean, it gives you a very good sense of the size of this organization.
Scope. I mean, well, big enough to have their own TV show, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
it's starring Famke Jensen, so I can only imagine it's a Halcyon.
Well, they did go out of their way. It's
going to be sponsored by the Ford Mustang like a maniac.
Oh, did anyone see the commercial with Navabi?
I missed it.
No, it's watching
the Ford Escape.
No,
it's good advertising. It's
Ford
smart.
Ford Escape commercial as Navabi on the phone, and someone is setting her up on a blind date. I don't know. And someone's walking up behind her car, and then she takes off.
You watched it, right?
I watched that commercial,
yeah. Then they win.
It sounds riveting. I missed it.
Sorry, I'm just saying. She looked great too.
So it looks like after all of that, looks like Red's ploy to get to Famke is starting to. It seems like it's starting to work.
It also looks like Red stole those barrels himself, didn't he?
Sure does.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it to Harold.
Well, he did, but then Harold was like, "Well, no, we're not going to make a profit. You understand those barrels are going into government hands as evidence, but they never made it."
Did Harold become that vodka there?
He just did. No.
Oh, shit.
Sorry.
Gentlemen.
He's never watching this.
That's true.
Come on.
So they never made it to evidence. And they were intercepted by Red's people. Yes. Yeah. So he can make a tidy profit. So he's back in business.
Oh, he's back in business.
Red is back in business. Oh, he's not just on the Lizzie Keene mission.
He's got to make some money back.
Yeah, absolutely.
He bought that Lincoln Town Car for $40,000 or whatever he paid the guy.
In Cape May, he froze all his assets and he paid everyone off.
You remember that?
He suspended operations.
Yep.
My man's got to make some money.
Absolutely.
So he's got to get some cash.
He's got to play Chris Christopherson. He's got a whole crew of guys.
Boz. We know his name is Boz now.
I like calling him Chris Christopherson. Right. It makes me happy.
I do like this whole chess game / checker game that happened at the airport, which was very cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was very cool. And I like the idea of Red relentless. I think the value of this episode, it's like Red's relentlessly coming for you, Famke. Like check it out, Scotty. Red's coming for you. She seems so cool, not worried. And then a bunch of people killed with a knife. So cool, not worried. Other dudes killed with another letter. So cool, not worried. He's in the airport. Mm-hmm. She gets him arrested. He's back. Red keeps on coming. I love that. I love the idea of
Right. You're playing checkers. I'm playing chess.
Exactly.
And I'm going to F you up.
When he got that phone call from Tom, though, don't go to the airport, it's a setup.
Yeah.
And then he kept on going. I didn't see, like, the scope of it yet. I was like, no, Red, what are you doing? Yeah,
he's like, shall we go? And I get, but of course. And then, like, it was a bit, sort of a Scooby-Doo reveal when he's like, when he mentioned a quick glance at the schematics of the airport showed that this is the obvious place to do it. I'm like, oh, of course the schematic showed that.
It was nice to see him, you know, a few steps ahead for the first time in a few episodes.
Yes,
you know, he hasn't been there for a while.
Smartest guy in the room.
Good point.
Yep.
Good point.
He's getting his mojo back.
And he sure as F wasn't get outsmarted by a couple of security guards from the airport.
No, that wasn't going to happen. Tweedledee and Tweedledum were not going to take him down.
No, that was not happening with Red Reddington. So, and Dimby had to jump on him. I like to see, even the optics of that was like the guy with the gun and Dimby had to jump on him so fast. It was like, this is a real soldier here. You're just a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
now, was she calling 9... She called 911, but she already knew the cops that were going to show up?
Well, it's a first responder thing. So she called. That's a good point. She called 911.
Why didn't she just set it up so as soon as he came in, the airport security guys took him down?
I don't know, Frank. Why you gotta ask so many questions?
I don't know.
Fucking Frank.
I don't know.
I don't know if the 911 call was necessary. She already had it in place.
Yeah. I think that, well, it was a red herring for us. I don't know plot-wise, but it definitely kept us engaged. Okay. We're like, it's all real.
That's fine. Right. I was just asking.
Like if she dialed like 226, then we'd be like, but 911, we're like, ooh, maybe it's real.
Right.
Just asking.
I agree.
Think about it.
Fair enough. Okay, so then she goes and takes him in. He goes downstairs, has a conversation.
Tells
about
a great
Bermuda,
story.
Tells a great story, gets to jump on him.
Double
jump on him. And then does that move where he drives in with his hands taped to the steering wheel and get Boz and Demay in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And Red's back there with the AR-15. I loved all that.
Yeah.
I love our girl Famke's line there. Might I suggest your anger isn't with me, but with yourself?
Oh,
yeah. Once they start the little conversation, the little tete-a-tete.
And that little tete-a-tete, unlike the tete-a-tete at the beginning of the episode that my man did, the tete-a-tete at the end of the episode,
Did not go, didn't land tete-a-tete.
Does no.
I'm no, not saying I, it. I'm actually,
I enjoy the tete-a-tete between Red and Famke. I thought that was really good. And Scotty, I thought that was a really cool exchange. But then we learned that this isn't actually an adversarial relationship, that this is going to be an uneasy truce or alliance. This whole time he's been getting to her because he needs to align with her, not mm-hmm. getting to her because he needs to take her down. It's just, like you said, we should talk. But the only way to get her attention was to take all these people out. Yeah. But again, Red is, things aren't what they seem with Red. Like, he's only there to have a conversation, to join forces with her. Am I reading this correctly? Is that right?
Well, temporarily. What bums me out, I feel bad for those guys. Like, all they're doing is just, they're working a job, you know? They get out of special forces. They've got a particular skill set. What are they going to do, go sell Hyundais? It's not. No, I mean, you've had a lot more excitement in your life. You're real good with a gun and knife, whatever else. And you've got all this ability.
Some of the mercenaries that work for Halcyon.
And then all of a sudden, you're just getting whacked for no good reason. No, just because someone wants to have a conversation.
I'm going to guess that Halcyon's got you dealing with some stuff that's probably not, you know, on the up and up. And Halcyon hires guys like Mr. Solomon, you know?
Listen, all I'm saying is these are, you know, blue-collar guys. Normal guys, couple fair beers enough at the end of the night. We just whacked a bunch of fools for no good reason other than we were told to.
Don't get in Red's way.
You know?
What do you got there, Jules? What do you mean? In general, what else do you have about this episode? Because I think we just ran through the whole episode.
We did, but I do like how people... interesting to see Red's sort of confliction with himself, because not only Scotty, but Hitchens also called him out that they feel like Lizzie's death is on him.
Yeah.
That they didn't cause her death. She died in childbirth.
Yeah.
That wasn't their fault.
Scotty even said
we went to great lengths to deliver her to a caring party till you interfered.
Very true.
Alexander Kirk. We don't know who that fool is, though. We don't know anything about Alexander Kirk, do we? Is there something we're missing,
we
internet?
We do not.
Is there a thing from, like, season one where his name is mentioned and we don't know?
No, we do not know.
We do not know.
I don't know who he is.
And we should also mention that we return to the blacklist. We are back to
number 18.
Number 18.
You know, and I will say this. On the blacklist, if there is some sort of cause for the nomenclature, 18 seems like a good place for her. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I think, that seems about right.
Well, it's her. It's not her company. It's her. Not Halcyon. It's
right. It's Susan Hargrave. What I like about what he did at the end, or why it makes sense, is now she didn't deliver for Alexander Kirk, he's going to go after her. So that's what Red's saying, is now we have a common enemy because you screwed up and didn't do what you were hired to do. Now he's coming after you, and I'm going after him. So we have a common enemy.
We also know that Alexander Kirk is Stalder's boss.
That's Stalder's boss?
Yes.
Yes.
That's his employer. That's his employer.
He's an employer, or is that who hired him?
My employer hired his words. My employer hired you to kidnap Liz, but you failed to deliver the target, and your people got her killed. So then you went after me, so you would have a bargaining chip against my boss, who wants you dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're gonna take notes about these things, Frank, I guess you're right.
So Alexander Kirk apparently wants her dead now. Wants Scotty dead. Alexander Kirk is also Stalder's boss. And what did Stalder do? He was the president of... He worked for a global financial council, and he was president of the Energy Consortium Group.
Oh.
That's right. So now we get an idea of who Alexander Kirk is.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So he's...
In some way, yes.
These guys are global.
Just getting some puzzle pieces.
But what did he want with Masha, Masha, Masha?
Don't
what does
know.
He want?
I'm just collecting puzzle pieces, and hopefully we can put it together.
Well, speaking of puzzle pieces, we should touch on Brian Dennehy, Grandpa.
What about him?
We touched on it last week.
Oh, we did?
We weren't here.
Wait, was Grandpa this week?
Last week? You need to drive this bus better.
God, I've done a poor job of driving the bus.
Tell you what.
I was up late watching Captain America Civil War last night. I saw the midnight show. I may or may not have watched these at 3 and 4 in the morning.
It's a grown ass man, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry I'm letting you down, folks.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. Let's get this done.
Oh, look at you taking over.
Hey, we got you did.
All right. Let's shove in some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Julia.
Yeah. Okay, predictions. Frank. I think.
Frank.
In the next two episodes, I think Howard is going to show up, and Howard is Scotty's husband.
Oh,
Who obviously, you know, we should talk about this. Tom, not Tom, I'm sorry. Red likes Howard.
Likes him.
Yeah. Does not trust our girl.
Nope. Does not like Susan what she's done with the company.
No.
He had high hopes for what Halcyon was going to do.
Yes.
And she's taken it to a different place than
Howard how would we never have done business with the likes of
so
Alexander
Cook. So I think
Cook.
Howard is going to intervene.
Okay. So the Howard cometh.
All right.
Got Joe. It. I really got nothing. All of us stuff that we thought was happening last week, we were so completely wrong. We thought that Susan Hargrave was maybe Masha's aunt.
Oh yeah, I was so way off.
Was
way
a
off
convoluted
on that.
Thing that we've got, and nah, nothing. So I don't know. All bets are off, man. I got nothing. I still think Lizzie's alive, though. I don't think they like us that much.
I think maybe Alexander Kirk, maybe her dad. Maybe he survived the fire and the gunshot.
Now we're trying to tie this all to family. I don't know if there's any.
Well, why would he want her so badly?
Yes. Why the hell did Red want her? What is it about Liz?
God damn it, Lizzie Keene!
Frank,
how are
what the
you?
Hell's going on?
I don't know.
We don't. We still don't have the answers to that. We don't have the answers.
What are your predictions?
You got a prediction?
What do you got? I predict that.
Predict something.
I predict that you're right. I think that Red does like Howard, and let's see what I'm doing here.
Sorry. All right, so what is your prediction?
I may or may not be looking at
you may not be ordering a pizza.
Nannies. Nannies and babysitters online.
I need to take a picture of that.
I'm sorry, ladies
What's
and gentlemen.
What's your prediction, Brad?
Come on, focus
Come
up.
On.
My prediction. I'm hungry. My prediction is that I think that you're right about Red and liking Howard, and I think that Howard will come back and sort of maybe right the ship of what Halcyon is, and then bring Famke around to whatever the good or whatever Halcyon's supposed to be, and that will be the launch of this new series. Because I can't imagine Halcyon is a series about, you know, a bunch of a morally ambiguous military contractor. That's not a fun series.
I'm gonna further predict that you're gonna order double cheese.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Extra blue cheese crumbles and red chilies on the side.
An avocado, just because you're allergic, but you tried to eat them anyway.
Thank you very much.
Should we do this?
Okay. Yes. That's all we got, folks. Thank you for joining us in the chat room, Jenny D and Marcella and Watson and all the rest of you folks. Sorry we had such a short show today. We will be back for the finale. We'll be back in full force.
Part one of the finale.
We'll be back of finale part one to discuss this. And Joe, where can the kids find you?
They can find me on the Twitters at Joe Filippo, JoeFlippo.
And Julia. Frank, where can they find you?
You can find Frank.
Frank,
on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JuliaCarely. Stop it.
And you can find me, Joe Braswell, at JLK Braswell on Twitter and Instagram, and JK Braz on Snapchat. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you very much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for checking us on iTunes. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.